Hi, I'll be reading my book, Let the Buzzards Eat Me Whole, published by Another New Calligraphy. Only the one that hurts you can make you feel better. Only the one that inflicts the pain can take it away. Madonna. I'm 40. I have saggy tits, white pubes, and a story to tell. If you've spoken to me on the phone, you probably thought I was born and raised in Southern California. You'd be right. Sort of. If you've seen me in the flesh, you probably thought, how the fuck is her name Ingrid? It's magic, my dear loves. Fucking magic. I've been mastering this magic from the tender age of 6. I have been successful in my undertakings and consider myself a master in this assimilation magic. I have lied my way through life, not only to others, but mostly to myself. I lied about my abuse, watering it down, laughing at it even, pretending I was healed when I most certainly was not. I lied about being legal in this country, embarrassed of my brown skin, indigenous features, the food I ate, the music I listened to, the religion I was baptized into. I lied about how I'd learned English. I lied about how old my parents were. I lied about why my father was gone the year he'd gotten deported. I lied about where I had been when I had gotten deported. It's all a vicious cycle. It is sloughing, it is dying, it is victimhood, it is extinction. It is understanding that the more you know, the stupider you are. It is knowing that we are born dying. It is living while we die. It is acting well the part that is given to you, Epictetus. During this last full moon, I took it upon myself to undo all of that decrepit old magic and replaced it with a revised new magic. A magic that bled, a magic that ached, a magic that loved me back. It is a constant thing. I kill the lies I've told myself about myself. I kill the lies I've told myself about myself. I kill the lies I've told myself about myself. There is a visceral about face after this ritual. I lingered in my bath, soaking lovingly in my filth, thinking, how long will it last? How long until I need another dose of magic, another bath? Will this stay, this feeling? Will I go to sleep night after night and still feel this mutation in me? Will I take notice of my patterns and change them? Will I take control? Will I recognize what's necessary? Will I kill what's already dead? Will I trust myself instead? I watched that dirty bathwater go down the drain, making sure to watch it until the end. I stepped out, dried my hair, my body, rolled frankincense, Russian roses, and cedarwood extract on my wrists, and let the buzzards eat me whole. 1984, La Matepec. Cracked hands scratch the softness of her thighs. He is gentle, a giant. His age shows on his brow. Smile, sinister. Bruised eyes condensed, unable to dilate. A somber tincture on her cheeks lives and grins when caught between the chafe. Compelled to swell and ebb. 1986, La Matepec. While the war on the outside raged, my war lived in dark houses, patched walls, cold showers, baths warmed by the sun, half-eaten fruit on dirty tables, bombed, left for dead. Shrapnel stings from tongues on skin. plucked feathers stuffed in wombs to rest migraines on. Memories from war-torn countries come from people who saw the dead, come from people who saw the living become the dead. A body amongst trash decomposing, bomb mingling, a ring of volcanic recitals activating lighthouse fires. Stay awake, fill the empty spots, replace it with fire skin and threats of never feeling good enough again. Take me with limbs missing, heart broken, scars opened, smile swollen, severed from fragments of busted omens. Take me to the jungle where women and children write poems when night comes, where men scrape pencils sharp, their brains splattered on walls. Take me over Angelino lights on a Boeing 737, where bones scrape on bone. The pen follows close because family lines on palms are destined. February 2nd, 1986. First meal in the States was McDonald's, a cheeseburger Happy Meal. The toy inside was Kermit the Frog and all his Muppet baby glory. I was exhausted and starving. I unwrapped my cheeseburger and the color of the wrapper concerned me because it was the same color as the bun and cheese. I had never seen anything like it, but I was hungry and asked no questions. The flight to Los Angeles from El Salvador had taken roughly 8 hours. I didn't even remember packing. Did we pack? It was hot for February, so I took off my trench coat and finished eating. As I chewed, I remembered a taxi picking us up back home. I remembered Don Chepe squeezing my hand before I went into the taxi. One last reminder that I had been his and would remain his even when I tried my hardest to break free. His hands always felt like a pumice stone, and I always felt like a crab in the sand. I saw my parents hurriedly lock the door to our small house, nervous and heavy with premonition. Then, with quick side glances and an empty stomach, we drove away. Don Chepe got smaller and smaller, and the tightness in my groin weakened. I beckoned my innocence to return. "He's gone," I whispered. "He's gone." English proved to be comical at best. I was in third grade when I was finally fluent. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. Before then, I had learned a few words by listening to American music back in El Salvador from artists like Madonna, Wham, Tears for Fears. Music always seemed to make its way into the most impoverished countries. It was a balm. I listened to all the Americans talking American slang as I floated from grade to grade. There's this feeling I get that I compared to the first day of kindergarten. I carried ravens on my head, the schoolyard filled with goldfinches. I watched trees be free in the breeze, swings anticipating the feeling of gravity, mind like a Ferris wheel. In the corner, a plugged incubator showed life was a warm, lavish classroom burning of glue and glitter. I plunged my fist, wrist deep, into the paste, left it there, enjoying its thickness between my fingers. The lapis sky whizzing beneath my feet, the core inside the sun, a feeling of heat. A neatly tucked passion on my crown. Tied love notes on balloons, set them off into the smog, hoping someone would respond with the same feeling I get that I compare to the first day of kindergarten. But even now, after 3 decades of constant exposure to the language and some formal education, I still fuck up. I still get shit wrong. I use my hands a lot, speak with purpose, use my whole body, make a dance of it. In 1986, El Monte, California, I lived next door to my first American friend, Christy Marie Cooper. She was Mormon. I was Mormon. She wanted brown skin. I wanted white skin. She watched me through thicket, and I watched back. She giggled and twirled her limbs like putty, ran her hands through my thick black hair as I stared at her big green eyes. It was love. Midnight swing set, park mischief, woken up in half-eyed laughter, lids intact to the sapphire sky. Feline sister indulged in her strange attraction to my hurt. A vast black mass of what in daytime was lush and green, a black mass, and I floated on midnight swing set. Laughter curtailed in the dark are those shadows of trees, of men, of sister and her own pain. I recognized the evil. I recognized that gravity is where I'm pulled, and I wanted someone to push me off into indifference. Mormonism was a strange, statuesque presence in my life. It saved my father from alcoholism. Small town superstition helped this. Invade impoverished peoples and watch them flock to your promise of salvation. I was born into it, so it was all I knew. My first love was a Mormon missionary named Tony when I was 4. He was a love song when I needed intimacy, an angel that rubbed oil on my temples to cure my migraines, the migraines that always plagued me, the migraines that made me scream like a child demon, the migraines that were only cured by these beautiful virginal angel hands, which I'm sure touch themselves often. I'd often fake migraines to feel Tony's fingers on my skin. He'd close his eyes to pray over me, summoning this pain to leave, to return from where it came. I watched him through sinful slits, watched his mouth shape prayers which felt like witchery. I only ever felt his presence, and that was enough to make a believer out of me. They were Christmas gifts with butterfly eyes and pouty lips, luscious skin sturdy in their grip, a cemetery bed where I'd die, little deaths to warm my thighs. In a room beyond a curtain, a TV blares its voice because talking is for children, and I know things children shouldn't know. Baths and cribs take shelter in the sun, but these gifts, they fly in gun-powdered skies. They wrap their awkward arms around me, cold, stiff limbs around this torso, famished belly, supple mother breasts for attention. I draw pyramids on my legs, rooted in the idea one must be prepared in case of famine, in case of mother drought. I guess I've never really loved it. I've shaved and smothered it, burned and cut it, either with a lover's mouth or a buzzing toy I aptly named Hume, meaning from the cave, but never truly loved it. Now I can't keep my hands off it. I'm entitled to it, this chaos, this love that's so damn altered, reformed, transformed, remodeled, and stunning. It's turned into something resembling honey. It started at age 4, when he was left in charge, he and his wife. It started with a kiss, his tongue, my mouth, his hands a tug, his cock in me, forcing open the only innocence I'd ever get. After that, a haze, a cloud, dirty uniform, powdered milk, waiting for school to end, for the girls to stop scratching my face, for the girls to stop hating me. It's like they knew. He'd lead me through crowds, through food vendors, buy me fruity ice and sticky sweets to ease the pain, to help me forgive him. He'd pay the bus to take the old, decrepit, bumpy road home, holding my thigh, my heart, my purity. "You're my favorite," he'd say. "Mi favorita de todas." There were others, so many others, I forget their names. He always told us our parents knew. I wish he'd stop loving me. Fucking loving me. Stop fucking loving me so that I can love myself. He killed the fuse inside me. I can't relay in vivid detail how it happened because honestly, I don't remember. I did that purposely to help my smile remain intact. I just remember the urge to touch it, to rub it, to make it feel like he'd make it feel. Impulsively. Imagine over sex at age 5, like a tug, 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 tugging at my core, begging to be let out into fresh air. I'm suffocating, I can't breathe. I need to do it, you see, I need to do this. It has its own heartbeat, its own soul. It thinks outside itself, it's not me anymore. The days turn to years, my hair grows past my ass, and my fingernails are red. It's inflamed now, this button, this slit, but it hides in cotton in his hands. Then there's another kind of war going on outside that dark house, with all us children still fighting the fight silently. There's men walking around in dirty green uniforms, spitting and cursing, guarding our safety, even though I feel dirty and flawless, alive and dead. I wonder what it feels like to have those metralletas slung over sore shoulders and a list of battles behind me. Oh, but I do. I want to go to the carnival. It's in town now, and the clowns and the trapeze artists make everything better. It's all make-believe, they make everything better. But just like that, when it couldn't get worse, it did indeed get better. I didn't even pack, just the clothes on my back. Left my toys and my memories behind in that house my father built. Left my friends who would grow up to be something I would never recognize. I watched him grow smaller and smaller as we drove away from the war inside me, outside me, and down below. The wars that made the little girl a woman. When I think of war, I think of humidity, either on my face or between my legs, and usually I think of confinement. When I think of childhood, I think of discomfort, either from the lack of nutrition in my body or too much attention being paid to my body. I think of my body as the reason for war. When I'd hear shots go off, I'd think it was parts of me exploding, gone missing. A holy woman, gargantuan but tolerant, a simple terror, a sullen hellion. In my vanity, a hybrid, I often thought the chaos of my surroundings was a direct reaction to what I felt inside. When Don Chepe would rest himself inside me, pieces of my chapel flicked off. But each time I smelt a dead body, or the acrid scent of a flower in full bloom, or watched an orange-chinned parakeet land on a perch, I felt reconstructed, understood, immaculate. masticating myself like this, this picking of the flesh, this constant ripping of the abdomen has always left me feeling so tired. A fatigue that's hard to explain plagues me. I control. I am the power. I control. I am the power. I control. I am the power. Superstition was a constant meal in my home. Mom often said things like, wear your underwear inside out to keep good luck flowing. She wore her underwear inside out. We often gave each other knowing looks at church until the day she decided to start wearing her temple garments. She would suggest I try this thing that always worked for her, which consisted of making 3 wishes written out on paper that I'd then fold and dip in honey, which I'd place in the middle of 3 apples that had been sliced in half, which would be put inside a bowl and left to see which of the wishes, if any at all, would come true, determined on how fast the apples would rot, if they'd rot at all. I did these things and also went to church. She did these things and also went to church. Church became something of an errand we'd all do on lazy Sunday mornings, something that required our half attention, since we'd fast and be starving up until we came back home. I came to know a man named Felix Sierra Montoya when we first arrived in Almani, California. I feared old men, but it was easy loving him. He lived across the street, a Navajo man with scab knees and a rose garden. A saint, an animal who changed color as the years passed by, as his sadness grew, as his lonely protruded from the cavity of his good, his brown skin turned white, patched 1%. He was the first man who didn't feel like a threat, the first man who treated me like the child I was, honored the child I was, a foreign concept, really. He became the safe space, the love I always wanted and rarely got, my best friend, my clown, my everything. But like all things that are good and safe, he died and left me with a crater as deep as the deepest trench. There are small feats and heavy blame. There are fast tongues and no sleep. We carry our father's burdens, our mother's fevers. We never learn. We never learn. We never learn. We dim our heads. Watch them explode. We find it to let it go. The color of blood when you first menstruate isn't red. It is brown, tinged, heavy with death. It sounds dramatic, but at age 9, everything is. At age 9, on your birthday, when your body is bountiful with cake, pizza, dioramas, and sleep, you walk sleepily across the street to the promise of a sweet birthday cake your best friend Christy baked. Only you never make it. And you're hit by a motorbike and thrown 13 feet into concrete head first. You leave your body. You are out of your body, floating above your body, above your house, undecidedly roaming the realm of who knows what, enjoying the silence, enjoying the naughtiness of being so discreet while looking like you're asleep on concrete. A motorcycle accident for an immigrant in 1989 was a prison sentence. Might as well turn yourself in. No medical assistance, thank you very much. No ambulance. We'll drive her to the ER ourselves, thank you. No hospital, no doctor, no specialist. Broken bones are fixed by the curandero by breaking them back in place. No need for hospitals. Her name is hers. but her social security number isn't. The great tragedy of my life are these broken ankles that I've managed to endure with every passing winter, with much crucifixion and moaning. My pains always carry religious hues, because blessed be pain. It is a blessing, truly, to feel maps on my naked soles, to speak to the blessings of the earth through the bottoms of my feet, to know the language of the earth through the bottoms of my feet, to know that with every great pain, a beautiful song awaits. In 1991, the year we were deported, I was thriving in fifth grade. I was in full control of the language and had managed to keep Spanish fluent. I had friends, had officially become a fag hag, and had managed to really understand that breasts were pointless. I had also managed to get a reputation as a lesbian, mostly because I was a tomboy. But we left and rehearsed our excuses for the consulate, packed light in hopes to have a safe return. This was not the case. It was so strange taking a plane back to El Salvador. It was hot when we got there, a hot I had forgotten, a hot I could never forget. My poor, nervous Aries mother fuming and pacing. My poor Aquarius father silent and calm while she recoiled in the waves of her own storm. Me, the centaur humming to a song that lived inside my head. Not really knowing what to expect, I knew I had left friends behind, that an empty house sat waiting, that the mail would accumulate and that the plants would need to be watered. I knew that I'd eventually need to eat and that food would consist of handmade tortillas and beans with salty cheese, cut up mango and coconut, the coconut water to wash it down. I'd sleep on my old bed, the bed I had cried on, the bed I'd touched myself on. I sat in the dark of the bathroom and recalled cold baths, my parrot. I heard singing in the distance, and I couldn't make out if it was the radio or a woman in the throes of infinite sadness. Were those fighter planes or fireworks? Was that lightning or bombs? Were those ghosts or children? Was that me? In the midnight sky, plumed to dimmed lights, exiled from, in spite of, tied together with, we eat the air in order to breathe. We hold our breath, eat, sleep. I am back to where the pain lives, to where parts of me are scattered, to where no parts of me remain. Gloom, incision, askew, I hear you, but you don't dare speak, you whisper. Put your mouth on my mouth, kiss the devil out. Put your hands on my breasts, kiss my spine, wash my hair, eat my cunt. Remind me that I'm holy. Remind me that he didn't take that from me. I hold a punitive seance for the ones that came before me and want nothing to do with me. I understand, don't worry, I won't keep you. For you, the miserable ones, the ones without cake, the ones that never left, the ones who licked my face. Yes, you, the ones with gold bracelets and gold teeth and gold rings that I smash into powder and drink. Yes, you, that's me with a rock and a smirk. Yes, you, next door, a coop, a birdcage, a mew, a soup, a look, a stream of hands separating lips, split, always split, spit, crushed, fallen fruit from an endless giving tree. A prayer from me to to me. Keep focus on your pains. Turn them into art. Don't let your escapism take a life of its own. Use what you don't say and write it. Let your weird space turn into something. Turn the dark back into light. Retrograde into your subconscious and come back with what you find and write new dialects. You are on trial. You are a cave. That is the prison you feel. You are coded regardless of what goes on around you. When I say coded, I mean that inevitable frustration that comes with everyday tasks in conjunction with the deep sadness. Be okay with your role in life, my love. Soften your edges. I came back to the States the second time with less to worry about because I had left behind a suffering. I had slept in my old bedroom and saw Don Chepe's abandoned house, remembered all the sacrifices made in honor of him and his ravenous thirst. I slept on my old bed and masturbated thinking of this. I slept on a hammock and pissed myself thinking of this. I walked the streets and was quickly reminded of the contamination when a stray dog bit me in the face, hanging on my cheek like a debased trinket. I laughed and cried, had dinner that night with a punctured face, thinking that no other way could be as right as this. I left my father behind, which was a blessing until it wasn't. Fathers are strange things to young girls. They are martyrs and dictators and all things holy. Devils in iron clothes, leathered hands buckled ceremoniously around fists. Fear is what is left over after the years. Fear dissipates once your skin is a belt and his hands your skin. I heard less gunshots and understood that childhood friends wouldn't recognize me, wouldn't understand the new sounds leaving my mouth, wouldn't understand the abundance of flesh that hung from my body, taking up space. "Say something in English," they said. "Talk to us in English," they said. I wanted to say nothing. I wanted to stay silent. I wanted us to remember the things we were trying so hard to forget. To be born again, that was the promise I'd tell myself each time I put my hands between my legs. Each time I'd orgasm on those hands, I pictured all the filth spilling out of me. I'd lick it up and swallow it, because what good would I be without it, I thought. What good would I be? How do you entertain the thought of being good enough? How do you even begin to feel worthy in your own skin when all that comes out of you feels like slime? When remnants of him live in every part of you? When I say him, I mean Don Chepe. He was a man of maybe 70 years, dying, so he needed me to keep from aging. That's how I always saw it. He fed of me. From me, whispered hymns into my mouth. I breathed them in. I unheeded myself in his presence, took his words and set a record on repeat. Here I am, 40 years in, 34 years later, and that same song plays. That same hymn leaves my lips and sings me to bed. Incest happens during the holidays. It happens after the festivities, after the lights are off and the room is asleep. It happens and you enjoy it. It happens and you wonder where they learn to touch you that way. You wonder how they know your body, how they feel like an extension of every thread. They are your cousin, the cousin who eventually leads prayer groups at her evangelist church and marries and has a child who you hope never gets to feel as good as she made you feel. Family lies are the best kept. That's where you learn to hide them from prowlers, burglars, invaders. That's where you learn to hide them from yourself. I jump from year to year, decade to decade, with a dread of everything I have no control over. How have I survived? I am nestled in your many versions and sit on your lips, your hands. I stretch across your chest and sink into what would have been, what beats like, what isn't, what keeps you breathing, what holds you, what disengages. No pictures to hold, only flashes of your tongue against my own. You never whispered, you honed. A love letter to my parents. I often think that I could have been your savior if you hadn't chosen Jesus and chosen me instead. But we are all so scared of death, we are willing to ignore reality for the hope of eternal life. But how appealing is the thought of something going on forever in perfect harmony? How well does it sit in your gut? Is that freedom? Is that the beast, the tamed beast that resides in all our DNA? The one that rapes and turns me into something fragile regardless of my thunder? I'm not here to convince you to let go of a notion that binds you. I'm just here to remind you that you made me, and this conviction is yours as well. In life, sometimes death requires more attention. Knowledge isn't free, and graveyard jobs buy plots because they are cheaper. Tuition, malnutrition, contemplation, hospitalization, crystallization, masculinization, over-speculation reminds me that death is cheaper than a college education. Eternal life awaits. This one is too fucked up anyways. No need to spend your days paying off collected debt, and you can rest your head at night knowing you'd be well taken care of when you're dead. Walking, waking, dead thing, skin grayed like a storm coming close. You silver line your eyes to shoot off daggers if any human hands reach out to any part of you unclothed. You PBS your way into jobs and wit yourself into lovers. You paraphrase songs with your hands and beat on hard surfaces just to watch your hands move. Your knowledge expands because you put yourself in the hands of schools with limbs. You ate the ribs of your enemies and learned. You ate the cold of your lovers and learned. You ate the hot of your mistakes and learned. You swallowed your face and learned to remember that a face is nothing without a heart. So you swallowed that too and regurgitated the version of you that continues to change shape from all the loathing of bad food you've swallowed all this time. Now you're a void, learning that knowledge exists wherever you choose, and death is a constant resurrecting thing. Los Angeles chases you with its heat. It is a constant reminder of the humid nights I spent during blackouts back in El Salvador. Long nights of boots trampling, wood burning, stereos pumped and powered with D batteries, humming soccer games and boleros, cold watermelon at midnight. I am in constant unrest in this city. It is loud and obnoxious and smells of home mixed with agony. It is thriving with anticipation and lost in its own reflection. It is my healing because she accepted me when I came to her back in 1986 and when I settled in it in 2012. When I got here, I had no idea what city we were going to live in. I thought all cities were created equal, and as long as I learned English and befriended some Americans, things would be okay. I remember the quiet most of all. I remember a long silence as I slept between my parents. I remember crawling out as they snored and going to the front yard and looking at the huge trees and the huge yard and the glistening moon and thinking if that was a different moon because it never looked this beautiful back home. Home was El Salvador. That soon changed. Home became El Monte, California. Quiet, perverted city. A city where a certain type of immigrant lived. Where we lived, this certain type of immigrant. It was where I learned that doves do indeed cry, and so do drunk men and sad women. Where young girls lose their virginity on bicycles and love is only something for the pretty girls, the white girls, the blonde girls, not me. Never me. So loving myself became a nightly thing, an addict with loose fingers. I would picture all the beautiful boys and girls and pretend they loved me. But his face would often show up bright and bloom. He'd be there with a locked gaze and a rabid mouth, and I'd spit at my hands and hurry my fingers so that my lucid fantasy could come to an end. PTSD, labels, body dysmorphia, borderline personality disorder, major depressive disorder, fuck. What does it all mean? Where are my wings? Am I an angel yet? Is it Christmas Eve? My birthday? Is everything back to smelling like life again? Will fireworks go off when I die? Will I turn into a mot-mot and fly? Make nests of my weakened feathers? Fall off cliffs from the weight of what I've left? From the poison that I ate? Your father called you ugly. Your mother called you ugly. Men called you ugly. Women called you ugly. People called you ugly. Your father apologized for your looks to people. Your mother told you to stop doing what you did or didn't do and focus on looking better, looking good. Your cousins told you to be more classy like your mother, the mother who told you you were ugly, 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 ugly. I know the curves of that word. I know her smile, the way she crumbles me, the way I let her. I know her sinister, her shade of red. I know her stance, her games. I feel her breath on me, my warmest crevices engulfed by her experiences. I melt and stain. You remind me that even the palm trees laugh at me, that nothing ever lasts too long, not even ugly. Here's the princess turned queen turned witch. Here's the sliced, poked, folded, and returned. Once upon a time, on a warm ninth day of December at 8:15 p.m. in the city of Santa Ana, El Salvador, Ingrid Margarita Calderon Somoza was born. She didn't weigh much then, not like now. 6 pounds, give or take. Her weight wasn't much of an issue then. She was born to two broken humans, Blanca Luz Somoza and Antonio Adán Calderón. How they met, I'll never know. The stories are endless. A clown and a trapeze artist, a clothes washer at a brothel and a customer, neighbors, who knows? They're never honest about what hurts. The name Ingrid is because of Ingrid Bergman. Hollywood made it to the smallest country in Central America and made people forget their broken hearts for 1 hour and 42 minutes. I was breastfed because love wasn't available. She carried guilt and shame and sadness in her milk. I was a glutton. I remember my brother, my sister, my cousin Jeanette, my Smurf rubber dolls, my life-size dolls I'd fuck, the endless collection of marbles, my camouflaged clothes, my strawberry shortcake clock, school uniforms, powdered milk, cold showers, hot chicken soup, volcanoes, hands on my cunt, tongues in my mouth, cold ice cream melting, sticky candy, parades, church every Sunday, warm tortillas for dinner, a cock in my small mouth, a parrot screaming my name so I wouldn't forget, migraines, beautiful Mormon missionaries, cumbias, metralletas, helicopters, blackouts, boleros. Abuse tinges everything. Not one interaction or look from a stranger is normal. I am in a prison, and then I am set free. This is the struggle. It is a part of you, and the fight is often never won completely. It is a war and a battle, and a white flag and a sniper. I am often living in some part of my history where things are painful. Pins on a doll. I am willing. I prick at my skin and feel nothing. It is familiar and honestly almost ghostly. As an immigrant, as a woman made voluptuous and loud, as a tomboy and a brute, I am dichotomy and the infinite search for balance. My abuser often told me I was special, and in those moments and some far removed part of myself that was often floating above us as I wept and he touched me, I believed him. I crave the silent encounter of my husband, whispering how beautiful I am as I weep. Crying is food, same as hate and anger, and I am almost always hungry. I have doubt and I have love, and together they can wrap Christmas presents and etch names on my wrists. They paint pictures that ignite no feeling and write poems that quench no thirst. Healing isn't finite. It is constant resurrection. I use that term a lot because there is no other road or word to lead me back to the breaking and kissing that it shakes out of me. What heals is often different each time. I feel the hole fill up with either light or love or a patch of gloom that is necessary ammo for the days to come. Oh, but I'm so ugly underneath these clothes. That's the voices. Those are the voices. I often feel like the words that leave my mouth on days where everything hurts are those of Don Chepe and never mine. I am in constant disagreement with my flesh. I picture mass graves and deforestation, mass fires amid lost wildlife, my life, my wild life. In war, there are times of depletion, desperation, and depression, and other sorts of wars are cast. You dream of other lands to rest your head on, and hope that nothing worth hanging on to is bigger than something that fits inside a bag. There are wars inside palms where bombs explode, wars inside mouths or words pronounced incorrectly turn to crystallized ideals. Where I squat to relieve myself is where many fall asleep. No land is far enough away from filth. We are all captives here. Nowhere is where you're supposed to be. Haven't you heard that wherever you go, there you are? Haven't you felt the tug? To be far flung down Route 66 or some other highway where those same lines lead you right back to yourself? No one is unique. No one is equipped. No one has a clue. No one is at home. The child in me sings strange songs of expansion. I walk inside my body and nothing has ever been enough. No roses at my feet, no circles to call on my most wicked, no chance or afterglow. When left alone, I see the infinite. When in bad company, I switch and vibrate, depleted. hands either heal or stand erect, courage, arousal. I want to get eaten by worms, intrusive death cycles killing me since morning. Love shows up and you are determined to kill it because it feels good. It is safe and lovely and wrong in its purity. I try to recall the times I felt myself inside my body. Was it when you pricked your father's ear with your mother's earrings? Was it your hospital stays? Was it Don Chepe? Is he your first memory? Is it your sister force-feeding you beans mixed with volcanic soil? Is it watermelon summer nights? Is it blackouts? Is it bathing with your cousin? Is it church? What is it? I will spare no names because when I shake my head, I get dizzy and the names remain. They say love is all you need and all you need is love, and I agree, but my dreams do not. They are little deaths, an orgasm, a creme brulee, anything that has never rattled. That's the love I feel momentarily. I am on this road seeking the debris of me. I find pieces of everyone on this pursuit. I am an heiress of a million scattered limbs. My husband, the vulture medicine that skillfully tidies me when I spill out from each side. My Swiss Army knife. You take a chance on medicine, that's my approach. Do what feels good, then do it again. A wildfire where you can follow crooked paths. If it feels like love and looks like love and kisses like love and laughs like love and tastes like love, then it's probably maybe pain. He is resilient, drought-tolerant, a centerpiece to the abundance he brings. He reminds me of humidity, of cold watermelon, of my grandfather, of thunderstorms, of warm, oiled hands. He encapsulates my most favorite things. He reminds me of my Walkman booming Janis Joplin into my ears as I strolled the April streets of Paris as a young 16-year-old in 1996. Where not 5 years earlier, I was taking cold showers in the place I vowed to never return. The privilege. To be in a foreign country that wasn't riddled with filth. Beautiful warmness and soft lights glowing from the stillness of the Seine River. Me robed in my breeziest dress, in my rust, resembling that deep, dark blood I often found myself around. Hair short, pain rough, arms nowhere, holding nothing. Mouth devouring every little piece of everything. Ears happy, limbs dancing, smile always intact. Family far, far away. Him next to me, here, now. Life considers endings and feeds them in strange doses. You spread your wings and soar. You take risks and follow your heart. You break someone else's and a corpse appears. A stench of all your years stain your feet, your knees. You bathe in what is now, in what you know, in what you feel and gorge. You sip and drip with its intentions. I crack my ankles and wait for the light to pour out of me, for all the prayers of every man and every woman to come to me at once and smash me into a beam of light I always knew I was. Naked in lukewarm bathwater, cascades shivering with regret. I urinate into this hopeless riverbed, but more mediocrity pours from my guilty orifice. She is done with succumbing. I am so sick of this container, it must be said. I am the moon in all corners, refracting, creating tides emotionally within myself, outside myself, in the cracks of San Andreas, a circumstance of rainbows grayed with the coming of night. Even when the moon waxes, I am always full. I am a circumference of laughter and a handful of substance to keep your hands prosperous, to keep your fingers agile in case broken bones introduce their bent. I am encased into a casket of compressed organs. You are the same with a different name. No sense in thinking otherwise. No sense in astrological acceptance when all we will become is everything that ever was. Friends almost never, often never, knew or know about the who, what, where, and whys of me. Never cared to ask why the slightest touch of anyone other than the ones assigned the privilege of touching me could touch me. What does a body feel like when it fits the curves of the soul? Svelte, a highway of smooth. Why do all the women that love me look the same? Why do all the men that love me look nothing alike? Why don't I love me? Where are the meteor showers when you're in need of reoccurring miracles? Where is that calm that comes after rain? Friends never knew what to ask or if to ask, perhaps because my anger feared a repercussion. Perhaps it is that I never spoke. It is I who kept quiet. Perhaps I chose to never let on that maybe I didn't quite know the who, what, where, and whys of me. It is with a heavy body that I bring this message to you. It is with a heavy torso that I carry a stillborn that comes with the promise of conversation. It is with heavy arms that I introduce my smallness. It is with these heavy legs that I show you my brittle. I am in this only because you are in this too. I am not capable of more than I am equipped. But do not let my weight fool you into thinking that I am ready for war. Do not let my weight determine the amount of hurt you think I can endure. I am soft and pulpous, no rock under these bones. Instead, I feed off ash, and all I am is capable of rising. A strong woman needn't call herself such. A witch is a witch, the end. Words are just noises, and I am just dirt mixed with water. Mud. In awe of hypocrisy, I sip my hot chocolate. A caring tongue burn is restful resurrection from the thorns I prick my eyes with. An iced sweet tea doesn't calm the storm. Warm rain doesn't sort the drought. Your soft voice doesn't heal the rage. Your words never meant much anyway. In taking up space, I've surrendered my breaths. In taking up space, I've surrendered my breasts. I stand brazen in a pool of my own blood. Suck my fingers and taste my mother's 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 shame. Unclenched, sachet of failed curses. I reclaim my ash. I reclaim myself. I am acquired taste. I am dirty undernails, finger beds, cuticles, vaginal hood. I am everything that breathes and dies in your mouth. I am serpentine, sanguine, cellophane, serenade. I am soft, tender claws on your back, a cough drop drip, a throat slit, a tongue sucked black, a black sucked tongue. Fierce devotion to your silence. I am barking up your tree and billow fruit from your limbs. I sit on your sky, fling storms on your forehead, eat the children from your groin. Sweet fruit ripe, rotted in my palms, where I suspend all the browns, reds, and yellows onto the graying sky. Does this all taste as sweet as I feel? I carry the sour taste of my own blood as a reminder of my invisibility. This inherited anxiety lessens when a song hits all the right notes. The pain lingers in the deep-rooted bones of my teeth. I mimic crawling back into the womb in the company of hot water and porcelain. We forget how we are and what we are when we're busy trying to feel what feels right on the hands, the mouth, the belly. You sound as if the sun is shining down on you. Your mouth is curved by the rays of the sun. You told me to pretend that you were a fly on my leg, coming in and out of my life. But let's go back, way back. Back to the womb, back to that original pain, to the beginning of the end, to the end of safety, to the light that turned to darkness, to the darkness that remains. Go back to where it hurts, to where your skin made contact with the earth, to when the earth first tasted your tears, to when your salt hit your mother's breasts and you tasted yourself and swallowed, when sleep came easy. I am my own restriction. My armor is tinged with eager, supple madness, a cushion I recognize. You sing of love and nerves, persuade the night to hum. It's all music if you let it be. My vulture and I fell asleep pretty quick, and when we awoke, he fucked me and came on my hips. It's a beautiful life if I let it be. All limbs locked in a tomb, a meditation of mediocrity. Pretend that all you are is just enough, that trying is abundance, that integrity a farce. Pretend that red lips and long limbs are you spread across the ocean, that many want to be you. I see the sunrise in your eyes and set at your feet. Dig your toes in sand to remind yourself that maybe in the dark, a knife awaits. I am glossy mouthed so all the admiration can glide off me. I am short stacked so that the time to read me is abundant enough to read twice. I know a girl named Silver Dress. I know a boy named Bangs a Drum. I know a dead pile of bones remembered as the one who laughed the most. I wait for dreams. I wait for echoes. I wait and fall apart in meditation, pretending that all I am is just enough. I unfold my napkin and spread it at my legs. I am patiently waiting for my food. I rip a piece of bread, careful to spread enough butter on it. Not too much, just enough. I sip my water, contemplating suicide. I regret nothing. I am elegant in my simple. I am calm and dewy. It is summer and I am ready to catch fire. I watch people pick up their food, complaining about the temperature of the water. More ice, more this, more that, more, more, more. Food is picked at. I am starving. I pretend I don't see all the waste, this waste. Food like leaves falling from a tree. My relationship with food is complicated. I remember being able to only eat charred tortillas and cheese, beans, rice, and cold watermelon, mangoes, plantains, cream. These were the staples. Those things would never go to waste in our house, that wretched, beautiful house with all my soft things and bad ghosts. But as I look around this restaurant, I get another memory. I am in a cafeteria back in elementary school in El Monte, California. I think and speak and laugh in Spanish. I watch everyone eat in this vast open space. I'm scared. I want to run away. There is so much food. There are two children standing behind two huge buckets, which I found out were trash cans. They are disposing food. These buckets are full of food. Fine food, food that is edible, food that someone who is actually hungry could eat and eat happily. I'm sick. I'm sick with sadness and I want something burnt. I need ash in my mouth. My belly is a symphony of again and again. I eat my salad, chew my buttered bread, and pretend that food is abundant and distributed in perfect cadence. Hair dog-eared behind mine. All is godly in the dark. When hair caught between teeth or back of throat coughed up, I ask, I'm a good girl. Or maybe it's a statement. You're a woman. and you're stunning, he says. I cry and survive inside your stoic. You are the nail that drives me, the thorn that stays pinched, the insignificant, the prosaic, wearied beat of heart against mine. You worry about it jumping out of your chest, spilt like wine all over me. I dance, my hair undone, unfurled. It is pages thrown into a fire. It is accent thick and heavy with a place I'd rather burn. I have no words, no hair caught between teeth or back of throat coughed up. I burn loudly, a song before language. I didn't grow up in Los Angeles like most other Central Americans. My mother made sure of that. She didn't want to live amongst her kind anymore. She wanted peace, quiet, and anonymity. She didn't want the sound of helicopters or the sound of children near her. I was enough. My laughter and screams were enough. My tantrums were enough. Her breasts had long dried and my need for her was unquenchable. Instead, we landed in the suburbs of 1980s El Monte and proceeded to exist among its inhabitants and blend. Of course, we didn't blend. I kept quiet mostly, drinking soda like milk, sugary kisses down my chin. I existed only to stand out. I was ridiculed by children who looked like me but sounded different, telling me I sounded different. I was asked about my accent, so I made sure to drop it. I learned how to say things like they said things. I learned to eat like they ate. On the rare occasion that I offered them food, they were appalled by the black beans, sweet plantains, and sour cream existing on the same plate. I have been many things in the suburbs, been spat at and pinched. Boys afraid of their attraction towards me, girls afraid of their attraction towards me. I have reminded many of their lack and my abundance. I have reminded them of what they hate and what they love. I am a mirror and a bayonet. We belong nowhere. We belong everywhere. Now in the time of racial acceptance, I am embraced in multitudes. I'm revered as beautifully strange and exotic. In the name of indoctrination, separation, and union, amen. Los Angeles never sleeps except for when it rains. Such unfamiliar noises creep and pull at a city unfed, thirsty for an ache. Los Angeles never sleeps except for when it rains. Black skies turn gray. The ocean below in my half sleep, I fall into that sinking cloud, that clamoring woodpecker rain. Rasping, gasping, my nest a heartbeat drowned by hot breath. A cup overfilling, a mouth sends me healing. Dripping serpent, I am your fruit tree, your fault line. I'll save you, I'll kill you. Your tongue, a hose, fresh soil to ripen, to dampen. Mornings are for gorging. A sunrise breaks the beast in your chest. Or is it the cigarettes? A pound for pound, ribs crack to make room for all that you bring. I am softened by the blood trickling. I am softened by the calm that has erupted like a cyst. Torn open, I am free. It's real, you know. PMDD and mental illnesses are real. Trauma manifesting and destroying is real. It is an invisible disease that women carry with class between their legs. It is impenetrable and free-flying. No belly to earth, just vertical lines drawn with ghostly ink. How do you explain to the average human person that you want to escape yourself by dying? That this feeling of filling up and drowning in the chatter and applause of your own mind is something that you'd much rather not feel and that you'd much rather die. It sounds ridiculous, dramatic, but it is as real as the sky and the rain. Just as vast and just as teeming, it drives me to heavy weeping, saltwater rain. Tasty, thick, necessary, ablution. My eyes, the sacred containers. I get paranoid. I remember things that happened in 2006 in vivid detail. I remind myself of all the bad things that have ever happened to me. I make myself look in the mirror and ridicule every single ugly thing that I believe to be an ugly thing. I cry because I have hurt people badly and I can still feel the pain I've left behind. I cry because people have hurt me badly and I can still feel the pain they've left behind. I remind myself that I come from jungles and that I'm lucky to be here amongst all of you reading this. I should have either died or had four children. If I had stayed, I would have been a sniper, or perhaps a mother, perhaps my own mother. That is what I became. I became a mother to myself, and now that's the part of me that soothes me. The mother. I mother me. The me that was ignored. She is bursting, always laughing, always crying. Now my mouth is thirsty because you can't swallow that many tears and not get thirsty. Then the fatigue comes like a million magnets pushing down on bones and turned to lead. The dry mouth parched and heavy, the heavy hand with brick fingers, and that hunger and that sadness and that chatter and fuck. I am a million planets singing. I am an atom's shadow. I am the moon, and yes, the calm only comes when the moon fills up like I filled up. Fuck. I am about to fucking burst. The moon, I can see her through my windows. She is beautiful and her rotund. She is me. And he looks at me, and I kiss his hand because I love his hands. They are magic tendons on muscle and deserve an altar. He sees this side of me and remains. I am softened by the blood trickling off my fur and onto my underwear. I am softened by the calm that has erupted like a cyst torn open. I am free. Now a married woman, it feels as if my father gave me away, and with that comes the ignoring. It feels like when he realized he couldn't dance anymore. He was the best dancer. He danced wherever he could. Always won dance contests and broke into dance in the street if a song he knew came on. Now with two bad knees and aged 83, he can't move the way he used to. He was waiting for me to get married so he could set me free. My 78-year-old mother is also thankful I am married so that I can have stability, so that I can have what she wished she had. So many years I watched her provide everything and dominate a household. She's not wrong. I believe we were meant to live in pairs. A human needs another human to get through this chaos. I always knew someone was out there for me, but I also knew that getting to this person and reaping the rewards of them was not going to be simple, because my cataclysm has caused a malfunction in me. But the harder you fall, the higher you fly. Is that the saying? I don't know. I'm terrible at that stuff. I blame your need to dance, my ability to sway, to have me be the whole and not the half, to have stories of hurt and of love, of misery, betrayal, of meals learned haphazardly through family or lack of, to love we knew we felt and love we knew was temporary. In these 40 years, which aren't many, I have been handed a set of tools that I sometimes forget I own. I have entertained the infidel idea full of recovery, bankruptcy followed. I come from a line of women that I don't know. Men I'd rather not. Circumstances endured. I have oftentimes called on them, ignored. They want nothing to do with me. Can't blame them. They're probably exhausted. But I retrieve the few tools I remember and I jet them into my veins. A drug, a remedy, medicine. A life is simple, really. You don't know that, though, while in the fire or in the storm. You blame others first. That's easy. You blame yourself next and realize that it usually doesn't solve the sadness. Blame is misdirected. Violence towards others, towards ourselves. Always weaponry, a blade instead of hands, instead of fingers, instead of mouths or eyes. Ready for everything and everyone. A war. Always a war. I have had no faith in this war ever stopping. No war ever stops. Only the turbulence lessens. Less blood spilt, less visible limbs askew, less broken hearts. Writing is cathartic, painful. I hated my country. The sheer thought of it was repugnant. The people, the food, the beaches, the everything. It wasn't the country I hated, but the corruption. The corruption that made people corrupt, making them do corrupt shit to people like me, to themselves, so on and so forth. It's 2020, not 1979, not 1986, not 1991. I am here. Here I am. There are 3.2 million Salvadorans living outside of El Salvador, and I am one of them. The country is healing, and so am I. The country is patrolling its territories, and so am I. The country is putting itself first, and so am I. I felt alone and engulfed all the same. No matter the city or the lover, I've always felt this way. But this country is sick and tired of the putrid stench of its own laziness. I feel like my own healing is at stake. I want to know what love is, what hope is. I know what love is. I have hope. I want to sit in its stillness. I sleep in its arms. I want to know what a head without sirens feels like. I understand the need for a home. I have always wanted the calm of it. I felt it as I'm falling asleep. I felt it when I'm bleeding. I feel it when I look at my husband as I'm bleeding and falling asleep. It's the first time, hopefully my last. A funeral ritual for clarity. She exploded, changed shape, constant smile turned sideways. Beautiful girl, round monster. I will miss you, little burden. I will miss you. I will beckon you with altars heavy with your favorite foods. Your laughter floats infectiously into me. I'll carry all your weight. Make sure your mouth full of chocolate and criticisms melts and reconstructs. I'll make sure to remember how malleable you are. That house back in La Matepec, that house with all those memories, all those pulverized night skies, all those yelps and sunlit cribs, kills itself by demolition. I am 5 months married, dinner with these parents of mine, the ones who have brought a sense of wonder and a sense of coldness all wrapped up in hot tortillas. There are words exchanged, the kind that are translated and left behind. We eat delicious food made with slow hands. We drink generic drinks bought with soft hands. We laugh at translated jokes. I am lost in this translation. My brain working overtime. Translate this and eat this and say this and insert silence here and love here, but not too much and careful now. Don't say too much. Don't admit your humanness. Don't deliberately cry. Instead, laugh. Keep laughing. Don't stop. Keep laughing. Turn the TV on. That's always a good time spent together but alone. Yes, together but alone. Then silence, a silence I'm familiar with, a morose time, but a familiar time. Oh, traditions, they are all so different, yet alike. A white envelope, a promise of something that translates like a hug, held with ferociousness and love in the same grip. My husband, confused but curious, a beautiful sight. This is foreign, this dark gloom, this many eclipses in one room. They sit us down and with a heaviness I'm used to, a heaviness like fried dough smothered in melted butter, this mother of mine begins to talk. We sold the house in El Salvador, Ingrid. No one took care of it. The people we left in charge never kept it up. It rotted. It literally rotted. So it was gutted, torn down. But before that, we sold it and got a little bit of money for it. Since you two recently got married and decided to do it in private, here's what we can give you as a wedding gift. A white envelope. No writing. Just a plain white envelope. In it, $1,500. Much needed. This house we left, full of flashbacks and tantrums, full of crushed bones and treasures underfoot, fruit trees and stone sinks. That house where I'd hide from my dad when he'd get home from being a bus driver, where I'd dress him like a mother I craved, where he'd pretend I was a guitar and played me till I laughed and peed myself, where the breeze took my parrot far away and brought him right back. Rust filled my lungs, told them I needed to take a walk to digest. I needed a cigarette. I needed ashes on my tongue. I needed to cry on my palms and learn to see this money as a gift. I saw the rot being pulled like tender meat from the walls. I saw all my ghosts freed. The roof of this house opened to the night sky. All the migraines and tears pure and pardoned. My split legs closed. I twitch inside myself like small pieces of me reconstructing. A tower. Danger. Crisis. Destruction. And liberation.